A reading from John 10:17-21. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
It's always interesting to see how people respond to Jesus and his statements. And here we have a good example of that. Some in the crowd say that he is of the devil's party. And then some point out that the devil can't, the devil brings disease, he doesn't bring cure. And since Jesus can bring sight to the blind, that would suggest he's not of the devil's party at all. And we've seen this before. But what impresses me is how this conversation and this response to Christ carries down through the ages and the centuries and the kingdoms and throughout the world as a conversation or conflict that's going on. Who is Jesus? And even with him being there and his declaration at the of who he is, there is still doubt.
But the aspect that comes into striking contrast for me is, first, they can't deny the fruit of his life. There are people being healed. There are people being liberated. They're seeing signs of the kingdom. We're all longing for that, that we recognize the brokenness of this world and we want it to be there. So they see these things happening. They can't get around that. But his statements are raving mad. I mean, the truth of the matter is he makes bold claims. That's why it's so interesting that people want to reduce Jesus to the least common denominator, to make him a good teacher or a good prophet. And he's just all-out radical in your face declarations of what he's saying here. He's telling them that he is unique. He is the way. He is the one who will establish the relationship that they'll have with the Father. And that's just too much for a lot of these people. So all they can do with that is to say, well, he must be demon-possessed. And I know we've used this before and it's overused, but it's really, it stands in our face again, C.S. Lewis's Lord, Liar, Lunatic. He's got to be one of those three. He's either deceived to say such things, even though the fruit of his life is so positive, so he's a liar, or a lunatic, or he's making it up because he's trying to use power for himself, and that's quite clear that how does that work? He ends up going to a cross. Or he is everything he says, which is Lord. And if that's the case, I can't just choose to have the fruit without responding to the word that he's saying. And he calls us to a radical response.
In the birth narrative, this gets played out, but once again, because there are two stories. They may be separated in time in terms of the age of Jesus, but they've been almost combined. One is the response of the shepherds to the claim that the Messiah has been born and he's in Bethlehem, and they come down and they adulate him, and they hear the heavenly host, you know, announcing the birth of the Lord, and they accept it right there. But then there's Herod, the king, ruler in Jerusalem, a man of great power, a man who is powerful in every way. And these the wise men come and they say the king has been born. And Herod's response is very similar to what we're hearing here. He lies. He says, "Go and find him and bring news back to me." That's a lie because he's not going to go worship him. He's going to go kill him. And that's the death of the innocents. So the response to Jesus, even at the very beginning, is very similar to what we're getting here.